Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Palace Station in Las Vegas. On the broadcast today, Amelia Pack Harvey. She's the education reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. For the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
40 years ago, Hotel California and the theme from Rocky were number one on the pop charts, and D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal started on the road to becoming Nevada's leading roofing company.
I couldn't be more proud of what we've achieved.
And over these 40 years, we've become an employee-owned company. So when you're talking to any employee, you're talking to an owner.
And here's to the next 40 years.
Happy 40th birthday, D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up to date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
After decades of delay, Congress was finally voting on expanding VA benefits to cover Vietnam veterans exposed to Agent Orange. They'd suffered for years, and they wanted Congresswoman Jackie Rosen to help them. But she was AWOL. Rosen missed the crucial vote. Instead, Jackie Rosen posed for a photo op at the U.S. border. Urge Congresswoman Jackie Rosen to do her job, to show up, and vote to finally help our veterans suffering from the effects of Agent Orange.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome for the first time to the program, Amelia Pack Harvey. She's the education reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you.
I've been saving this story since March when you wrote it because I just thought it was terrific. And the headline on the story is A Tale of Two Educational States of Mind. And what you're talking about is that you moved from Massachusetts to Las Vegas. And in this article, and it's still available online if people want to read it, you compared the level of education in both states, looking at what's right and what's wrong about what's going on in Nevada. Would you share with us your initial thoughts on what made you write this article?
Sure. Well, I kind of wanted to highlight the discrepancies that I saw when I moved out here. And I think I noted in the article, but I was a little bit shocked, kind of a culture shock of things that were said to me or things that were noted, the vacancy rates of teachers every year, all of these things that I definitely took for granted as an education reporter in Massachusetts. So I just thought
you
it would
be... You mean they don't have teacher shortages in Massachusetts?
I'm sure it's a problem nationwide. I wasn't quite sure. I never did a story about a shortage in my old district of Lowell. I don't know... if they ever had one. If they did, it was definitely not as severe.
Like 600 shortage,
right,
which is normal
right,
here.
Right, exactly. So I really wanted to open up folks' perceptions of, what Nevada's education, the landscape is like, which I'm still certainly learning things every day. There's a lot of stuff I still don't know. I'm only barely 2 years here, so I have a lot more to learn, but I got a lot of feedback on just the observations because I knew that I couldn't be the only one that was coming from a different state in education viewing all these things. And certainly it's definitely an apples to oranges comparison because I'm coming from a state with the best public education in the nation.
So what do you think is, let's start there. What's the difference between the place that has the best public education in your opinion and Clark County?
So I think there's probably a variety of factors. One is there might be different levels of attainment of education of the parents, which could play a big role. I came from a district that was high needs, so high poverty, lots of refugee children coming in. I mean, they were literally war-struck children who dealt with a lot of issues at a very young stage in their life. So, but I think the district saw, I mean, and also Massachusetts as a state sees the importance of that. I also think, although I'm not sure if there's any been any studies to prove this, but it has a very town-like approach to governance. So that also extends into the education system. So as out here we have, you know, Southern Nevada being the school district being governed by 7 people. In Massachusetts, there were, I think, over 300 school districts alone. Each of those is governed by a school committee of, it can range probably 5 to 7 people. And when they are hyper-focused on that community, then they don't have to worry about these big, you know, wide-ranging issues of 300+ thousand students. So having a bite-sized chunk of something might actually improve academics. That's kind of my hypothesis.
So let me ask you this then. So, because I mean, obviously that's been a point of contention for many years, which is we have the 5th largest district in the country. Was there a competitive nature between all of those different school boards? Was that something that struck you?
It never actually struck me because they were just so focused. I mean, there was a competitive nature between them and the charter schools that might have been in their district. But there wasn't. From the few school committees that I covered in central Massachusetts and then in the city of Lowell, there wasn't ever too much competition. It was very much, you know, these are our kids, we should focus on that, and let's figure out a way to do so.
Was it positive competition between the charter schools and the public schools?
So when I came over here, there was a question on the ballot in November to raise the cap of charter schools, which got extreme pushback. And I believe it lost, so the question was lost. It got extreme pushback. So that same viciousness that you see between traditional schools and charter schools, I think, is probably pretty much everywhere you'll see that. So there was a fight back when that ballot question arose. But in terms of the charters that already existed, at least in my community, there weren't too many negative things because that's the other thing, too, is that we talk about losing kids to charters all the time, and I feel as though it might have a bigger impact here when it's so significantly underfunded that it hurts that much more. There was competition, but it just probably wasn't as fierce as it was here.
And share the funding differential between Massachusetts and Clark County.
Yeah, so all the states have probably, I'm guessing they're all very complicated education formulas.
Of course.
I never grasped the Massachusetts one exactly to a T, but my colleague and I have done an analysis of the current education funding here. And I think you hear a lot of cries from folks about raising the base. So the base level of, you know, if a kid, just a standard kid, without any need, just without toppling all these other types of stipends on him or her, that the standard is very low, is what advocates will say. And in Massachusetts, as I pointed out, the per pupil expenditure was about over $14,000 per kid. Here it's, I think the district's this year is going to be $5,779 in basic support. That might include other parts of, and it might also exclude the total expenditure that they spend, but what they get in basic support, that's what that is. So I think that's also one of the big differences I see is just the funding.
And of course, here we always have a fight between those that want to increase funding and those that say, well, look at these other districts, Utah, for example, where the performance is much higher,
right?
And they're not spending as much.
And that's the other thing, too. That's very interesting that people always say that because if you look at Utah, I think they're higher performing, certainly almost everyone is in comparison to us. But also, I'd venture to guess that they don't have as many challenged populations as we do. So I don't really think that's a very fair comparison to make. Also, when you compare yourself, do you want to compare yourself to states that are middle of the grade, or do you want to compare yourself to states that are top tier consistently, like Massachusetts? So that's kind of my argument is, that it's just coming out of nowhere, and it's just kind of latching onto the few states that do spend less than us and seeing if they perform higher. So I'd venture to say that their population is nowhere near as challenged as ours. It might be getting up there. I'm not sure. Culture of a state probably has a lot to do with it, too. A culture of family values or culture of, keeping an eye on the child.
Yeah.
And here we have so many families that are not to place blame on parents for lack of parenting, but they might be too busy. I mean, they're working jobs. They're working, the night shift at the casinos, and the kids are left to kind of fend for themselves. They might be first generation college goers that they figured that all out on their own. So it's very different, like the family unit, if you want to compare, culturally too. I don't know what Utah's culture is like exactly, but again, I'm guessing it's different. So
Yes, I would say it's definitely different.
Yeah.
Let's take a break and we'll continue this conversation after this timeout.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Yeah.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Amelia Pack Harvey. She is the education correspondent for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. And, one of the things that I wanted to bring up, and you were alluding to it in part of your conversation, was that we have a very different population here. The transient nature of casino workers, for example, in a lot of cases, the low pay, which means that people have to work multiple jobs, ESL, poverty. The number of homeless kids in the system, beyond anything else, is just a stunning number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so there's all those factors that come into play, and it kind of creates the perfect storm, because you have low-paying jobs that might attract families. I'm guessing I'm probably venturing more into the economic side, business reporter side. But, when I looked at our transiency rate as well, which is something that kind of goes hand-in-hand with poverty, not entirely, not always, but did a story on that just to show people those issues that they might not see on the surface. But I talk to teachers all the time who say, well, every time I turn around, my entire class, except for maybe like five kids, is brand new. And this is all happening during the school year. So our transiency rate is higher than LA, than different boroughs of New York City. So when you take that into account, that's also, there's studies that show that their kids' academic gains actually decrease, you know, every time they move around, I believe. And it's issues like that. Poverty, for sure, is a big impact. And so I think those kids do need extra resources available, which the governor has done and did before my time, before I came here. So when I came in here from Massachusetts, I think the what I was being told was, oh, we're doing that, we're addressing that now. My question was, why were you never addressing that years ago? Because when you look at the demographics of the district, it's definitely changed from the creation of the funding formula back in the 50s, I believe. We are not educating the same population that we were 20 years ago, 30 years ago. So it's...
But fiscally, Nevada has always been, you know, very, very strict with a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And so the willingness to put money into, you know, these systems, although, I mean, for the longest time, you know, K through 12 and the university system were the two, you know, go back 10, 15 years, the billion-dollar babies. They're significantly larger than that now. But in talking to Ruben Morello, he would like to see $1 billion more put into education. And I talked to others, like Chris G when she was running for governor, and yes, $1 billion sounds like the right number.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you talk to conservatives and they're like, well, it's not about the money.
Right. And I think to the conservatives' point and to some legislators' point, they see the district doesn't have a good reputation of being, I guess,
fiscal
wise.
Management.
Yes, having good fiscal management. And it's very much seen as this huge, you know, bloated bureaucracy that sucks up money and doesn't use it wisely. And I know there's plenty of examples where that's happened. And I know before my time there were examples of misspent, you know, funds and whatnot. But even if you take a step beyond that, I think what I wanted to do, especially with writing this column, is, you know, okay, if you consider that, which is a very fair point to make, but also consider all the other issues that we have and us in relation to other states and how they do things. And so even if we do have all this mismanagement, which we probably still need to address, you know, here are some other issues like transiency that you might not think about that definitely plays a role. So.
Well, and one of the things that has to be brought in fairness is, yes, you may have fiscal problems and mismanagement, but in the fifth largest school district in the country, one would expect that there
right.
was going to be a percentage, and because it's such a large district, that will be much more visible than it would be in a smaller district.
Right, right. I think that's also true. That's a thought that I have frequently in my head. I'm sure there's things going on in LAUSD. Chicago has a lot of problems. New York City, I'm sure with every large bureaucracy, there's going to be a lot of questions that are raised, and there might be some people at the top that aren't doing their jobs well when it comes to finances. So I think that you'll get probably in every large organization, public organization, but it's just a matter of how you handle it and then also just moving forward, how you improve. So.
Pat Skorkowski, the former superintendent, said that once he had announced his resignation, he was going to be free to talk more about the problems within the district. But we had him on Nevada Newsmakers, and he really didn't elaborate on what his thoughts were. Did he elaborate with you at all?
No, that's the other thing, too. I'm glad you brought that up, because I was waiting for something.
I was really waiting for something.
Yeah.
I thought there was going to be a bomb.
Yeah, I thought so, too, because if you were there at his retirement announcement, it was very kind of fire and fury. I don't know if he ever was planning to do anything or say anything, bring those things to light, whatever those issues were. But it's also very striking to me that, and I haven't been through a legislative, I haven't seen CCSD argue through a legislative session, but I wonder how fiercely they do advocate for their kids, because to the point of some teachers and onlookers, they clamor for, you know, we didn't have enough money, and then the crowd is asking, well, why didn't you say that during the legislative session? And I'm sure there's a lot of politics involved. But yeah, I was waiting for him to say some kind of, you know, big announcement, but I I guess he's just going to retire quietly.
Yeah, it went out like a lamb.
Yeah.
We will be in Carson City for the session, so we look forward to having this conversation with you there.
Yeah.
I hope you'll be able to come up and cover it from Carson City. Let's take a break. We'll be back with more after this.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features, and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at Mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't going to let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please, stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Amelia Pack Harvey. She's the education correspondent for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. So we now have a new superintendent for the school district. But the real question is, no matter how much money he gets, how much availability does he have to move those funds around to where he thinks they may need to go when there are so many things that are mandatory in terms of school funding?
Right. And I think what in the interviews for the superintendent candidates, some of them did come out and just say, you need to fight. There was one candidate who flat out told them 5,000 and change is not enough per kid. So I think that's where he has the impact, the potential to make the most impact as a fighter in a legislative session. As opposed to trying to move things around, or because they claim they're so cash trapped and
huge budget cuts. $60 million just recently.
Yeah. So they're, I think that's the only potential to make the most change.
Well, the other thing to consider is when you look at the projections of growth for the Las Vegas Valley, it's just under 2 million people now. It's going to be 3.5 million people by 2050. We're going to have to deal with a lot of things just to maintain, let alone grow.
Right. And we're already, there's so many school buildings that are already over capacity, tons of portables. So, and we're building new ones, but I'd venture to say they're nowhere near keeping up with the actual need. And that's also part of a morale issue if you have teachers who have to juggle, 30 to 40 kids in a classroom. That's stressful. And why would I come to teach here if I can go teach somewhere else where it's easier?
Well, and the other thing too is, are we ever going to address that huge need each year of 600 new teachers? Are we not going to do something to be able to maintain the teachers that we have and encourage them to continue on with their own education as well as growing here?
Right. And retaining people, I think, can be so tough when there's so many negative things floating around, when you're fighting for salary increases all the time. That's a whole beast of an issue on its own, but there's a lot of different factors that come into play when these teachers are choosing whether or not to come here. So,
and then you have the last thing we can talk about here. We've got about a minute and a half. Is the two education associations now battling it out. I mean, you know, how does this affect the kids in the end?
Yeah, yeah. And my colleague Megan has been writing about that battle since it began. But yeah, now we have both teachers just on both sides kind of mudslinging, and it's reached a new low, I guess I would say, in both sides kind of pulling the theatrical stunts to try and woo members to their side. So that's all. And then the same thing has kind of happened with the support staff, although that's been, you know, ongoing over a decade. So it hasn't been particularly nasty. They're still waiting for a Supreme Court ruling on that. But when you have employee groups that are themselves divided, it probably makes for a very hard environment to get things done.
And that will also play itself out at the legislature, because NSCA has been such a strong voice in the past, but now will they be weakened going into the next session?
Right.
All good questions. We'll see you in Carson City.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for being here.
Thanks
we do
for
appreciate
having
it.
Me. Yeah.
And we'll be right back.
NV Energy is a monopoly, your only option for electricity now. As a monopoly, they decide where your power comes from. Yes, on question 3, the Energy Choice Initiative creates competition so you decide. It'll prevent NV Energy from hurting renewable projects like they did with rooftop solar, meaning Nevada will be a leader in solar jobs and create up to 34,000 new jobs. Competition is good. Don't let anyone, especially a monopoly, tell you otherwise. It's that simple.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lorianne, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Our thanks to the staff and management of Palace Station for letting us tape our shows here. We'll see you on the next broadcast.